Now, more discussion of the issues facing you and your financial future. The Cyber Advisor, David Revell.
Welcome back, everybody. If you'd like to join us on the show, our lines are always open. Please dial toll-free 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT, 888-463-6748. Or reach me on my email, dave@thecyberadvisor.com. Well, one of the things that analysts focus on in markets like this, like a laser, is retail sales. That's a clear indication of what the consumer is doing. And if as retail sales go up, everyone feels better and things look better. Yesterday we had an indication of the July retail sales report, and it was at first glance mixed, and at second glance not such a great appeal. Apparently the cash for clunkers helped retail sales in general, auto sales in particular. Overall, retail sales fell by just 0.1% when you included the cash for clunkers program. When you excluded that program, however, it fell by about 0.6%. That indicates that the consumer in this economy is not healthy and is not spending like he should be. In fact, a lot of indication that the consumer, instead of spending, as we'll see in a moment, is really saving. They also conceded, many of the economists in looking at this conceded that the weak spending outside of the auto sector, quote, may indicate that the cash for clunkers program is indeed cannibalizing other consumer spending to some degree. That is to say that consumers right now, with the $4,500 rebate that you get on cars and everything, consumers are emphasizing spending money on a car and excluding retail sales in other areas. So the cash for clunkers has a definite effect on retail sales. It is working. B, it may be working at the exclusion of other sales. But one of the most interesting things I thought was reported down in Richmond, Virginia, by the local paper there when they were analyzing some of the mom-and-pop used car dealers. Now they're unfortunately left without any clunkers to sell as used cars. Mom-and-pop used car dealers are feeling the crunch as old cars that provide their livelihood get traded in junkyards under the Cash for Clunkers program. By some estimates, 3 of every 5 of the used cars turned in from government rebates would have ended up on their lots and resold for a profit. 3 out of every 5, 60% of all used cars would have shown up on their lots, but now are part of the cash for clunkers. Quote, we're struggling, and a lot of us small guys are going out of business, said Jamie Dameron, sales and finance manager at Chase Motors in suburban Richmond, Virginia, where sales are down about 30%. About 40 million used vehicles are sold each year. 40 million, that's 4 times the number of new cars, said Keith Wayne, an industry expert and chief executive of Columbus Fair Auto Auctions in Columbus, Ohio. 40 million used cars sold every year in an average year, 4 times greater than new cars. Mom and pop dealers typically sell 20 to 25 vehicles a month. Now that's a lot less than their new car dealers, and they only keep inventories of about 40 to 45 vehicles on their lots. Under the popular Cash for Clunkers program, drivers get up to $4,500 for turning in a car or truck that gets less than 18 miles per gallon when it was new. In exchange, they get a new ride with better mileage. But to meet the entire environmental goals of the program, the old cars must be taken off the road. Their engines are choked with liquid glass, and the guzzlers are carted off to be flattened. So any of the cars in the Cash for Clunkers program are destroyed. About 60% of the cars traded in under the Clunkers program would have ended up resold on used car lots or at auctions. If, as expected, 750,000 vehicles are traded in under Cash for Clunkers, that will mean 450,000 cars and trucks won't make it into the used car market. Already they're seeing the used car market prices go up as supply is decreasing. Quote, the guy looking for a cheap used car is having a hell of a hard time right now, said Greg Signore, owner of Elm Auto Sales in Kearney, New Jersey. This program is absolutely increasing the cost of clunkers left on the market. So there you have it. Cost of clunker program, very, very hard on the used car market. Well, we thought we would turn now to Rajam Raghuram, who is the who's a economics professor at the University of Chicago. Now, the University of Chicago is one of the true powerhouses in economic study. It former home of Milton Friedman and the monetarists. And Raghuram has some very interesting and kind of an interesting perspective on exactly where the economy is headed and where we are right now. He was asked, "What's your outlook for right now?"
Well, the panic is quelled, at least for the moment. That's the good news. I think the financial sector is becoming profitable again, at least for a short while. That's also good news. They're not lending. That's the bad news. And I think the one other piece of good news is in the U.S., you're seeing the signs of a recovery in growth, at least for a few quarters. So my sense is, putting all this together, maybe confidence is starting on the way up.
Okay.
And there is the potential for positive feedback loops here to emerge.
Rajam is experienced in this area, has a great deal of knowledge. He has his PhD from MIT, and he was formerly the chief economist for the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, and has lived through most of the subprime crisis. But interesting to note, from Raghuram's point of view, lending simply is not occurring right now. There is very little lending going on. And again, I remind you that that's one of the chief goals of the economic stimulus plan. He was then asked if he had a positive outlook for the economy currently.
Well, I'm more positive in the sense that I don't think it's a decade of lost growth. I still think that that we are going to see a period of fairly slow growth after the initial flurry of recovery. We have gone down a lot, and typically when you go down so much with the de-inventoring, the credit squeeze and so on, there's a certain amount of rebound, and I think we'll see that over the next few quarters.
So are we talking about a double dip then?
Not necessarily. It could be going back and then slower growth after that without coming down. I mean, there is weakness still in the financial sector, and we don't know how deep that is. If that is really deep, we get the double dip.
Okay.
If that's not, we could see fairly slow recovery, but steady recovery. The years of lost growth depend on whether we can adjust to the new circumstances. The new circumstances will typically mean that over time, the emerging markets will have to provide more of the growth to the world economy.
They'll have to spend more?
They will have to spend more, which means more investment, more consumption. And certainly that process is underway. It's going to be too little to get us out of this this downturn. That's not going to be the driver. It has to be the U.S. But in the medium term, 4 or 5 years from now, that's going to be the biggest driver of world growth.
I don't know if a single economist right now who thinks that we were coming out of a V-shaped economy. It seems that each one that speaks indicates that it'll either be a long, slow, agonizing recovery or a possible double dip. He didn't seem to indicate that he thought it was a double dip. And in fact, he was asked later in the interview explicitly whether or not he thought it was a double dip. And here's what he had to say then.
In the short run, the U.S. is being certainly driven by government stimulus.
Yeah.
And my sense is that, plus businesses rebuilding inventories, is going to give us a kick, certainly over the next few quarters.
Okay.
We're going to get pretty strong growth over that period, in my mind. After that, it's anybody's guess, because that's when the stimulus starts wearing off. Consumers, are they confident? Are they not? Do they start spending again? Do they not? That's the big open question. Since nobody understands why they stop saving on the way down, it's very hard to tell when they will stop saving on the way up and start spending. And that's, you know, there's a whole set of circumstances, including their employment prospects, how they feel about the future, whether the Obama administration gets its act together on things like healthcare reform, on things like, you know, the energy policy. policies that you talked about.
Indeed.
And if none of this happens, confidence could get eroded all over again. And you could get the weakness and perhaps even the double dip if further losses accumulate in the financial system.
Indeed.
So I think we're in a period of extreme uncertainty, though I would say we will see some growth over the next few quarters.
Nobody knows why the consumer stopped spending on the way down or when the consumer will start spending on the way up. Just a classic quote absolutely sums it up. In a period of an extreme uncertainty as we're going through now, consumers will always save. They will not spend. We know that ourselves. The more uncertain we are, the less likely we are to go step out and buy things or spend at all. That's why this back to school season coming up within the next week or so is so critically important. However, the problem that we have from a macro point of view is, as the gentleman said a couple of weeks ago, it's hard to help somebody, it's hard to help the banks up at the same time you try and reform them. The reforming process of the Obama administration adds a high degree of uncertainty throughout the entire economic sector, and that is why that's a contributing factor that people are not spending. It is natural in a business cycle to go through a period where consumers cut back on spending, but they need to have a certainty, they need to have a confidence of what the economy will look like going forward and how they'll fit within that economy. Well, we'd like to take a quick look from another perspective, and this is Bill Dunkelberg. Bill is a local economist here at Temple University. He was formerly head of the economics department. He's also the chief economist for small business at the National Federation of Independent Businesses, and that's where he was interviewed recently on Bloomberg, and he was asked he had just recently done a survey of his members, and he was asked whether the small business owners within the National Federation of Independent Businesses are optimistic or not right now, and here's what he had to say.
There are a couple of things I think that concern him. One is that we still haven't really seen sales pick up, and that's primarily because the consumer, as you noted in the second quarter GDP numbers, the consumer's not spending yet. They're still saving. So not a lot of new customers are showing up, and that's a concern. And then on the other, you know, to add kind of dismality to that, if that's a word, look at what they're talking about in Washington doing to small businesses. They're going to raise taxes. If you happen to be a small business who makes some money, they're going to take some more of that. They're talking about a mandate for health care or health care taxes, and, of course, raising the tax on everything else they can find. So that's not a very pleasant prospect for the near future, and that was really what caused the index to slip a point or so, 10 percentage point decline in the percent of firms who think the economy will be better in 3 months.
An era of dismality. Don't you love that? An era of dismality. And here was the problem, the potential of rising taxes and so on. Notice that he comes to the same conclusion that Rajam did from a macro point of view. Dunkelberg takes it from the small business point of view, but the conclusion is the same. U.S. consumers, the driver of our GDP, of our economy, and also the driver of the world economy, are simply not spending. And in order for them to spend, there has to be some incentive for them to spend. The only place they are spending is cash for clunkers, which is a direct stimulus by the government of $4,500. That works brilliantly. In other areas, we're simply not stimulating at all currently. So next, Bill Dunkelberg was asked, well, the stock market's up, unemployment's down, inflation's down. That must all be good. So why aren't your people happy about that?
Right. I mean, those are all good news items. So you would think, you know, optimism would perk up. But again, what hasn't happened is a lot of customers haven't shown up. So not a lot of spending has happened. A huge number of them report sales declines from quarter to quarter rather than increases. And that's really what it's going to take to get them to turn around, hire some more people, make some capital expenditures that are needed, get equipment that's needed, and start ordering new inventory, which the manufacturers are waiting for. They're waiting for those orders.
So there's a jump start that needs to occur, and Bill Dunkelberg and the small business sector of the economy simply hasn't seen that jump start beginning yet. It just hasn't taken place. And this will be going forward the biggest concern that all of us will have. And that is, okay, we're spending a tremendous amount of money on stimulus. Is it stimulus aimed at exactly the right point? And that's the question. So, more specifically, Dunkelberg was asked, what specifically can the Obama administration do to help you in small business? And here's her reply.
Well, we do have a long way to go, but I think we probably have bottomed out. Certainly our optimism index bottomed in March, so we think of that kind of as our bottom, and we're edging up. But the economy is still very weak, and what small businesses need, all 6 or 7 million of the employers out there, is customers. And the stimulus package, of course, had very little stimulus in it if we wanted immediate stimulus. What would have been nice to see, for example, would be, you know, suspend all income and FICA taxes for 6 months, put a lot of money in the pockets of consumers and make labor cheaper to hire. Even if the consumer saves some of that, that would have been good because we need money in the banks in order to make loans, so we need savings deposits. Those would have been good things to do, but most of the stimulus is still in the future. They haven't spent the money, and so we haven't felt very stimulated, and we need that.
FICA breaks, I do not believe, are part of the stimulus package. Wonderful idea, but simply not in existence there. Well, it's time to take a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more right after this.